miss it. You don't really think about it till it's gone, right? Amen. Thank the good Lord for electricity, air conditioning, and all those fine men and women that go out in the midst of the storms and get the power lines back up. Hey, we're very thankful for them today. Happy Father's Day to all of you gentlemen here this morning. Amen. I pray that the Lord would richly bless you and keep you on this wonderful day. May he bless you with a good meal and a nap. My wife asked me one time what I wanted for Father's Day. I'm like, I really like a nap. Sounds perfect, doesn't it? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank you today for the wonderful, faithful people that are in your house. We're gathered here today in unity, Lord, to search out your word, to apply the truths of the word of God to our lives, that we may be fruitful Christians. Lord Jesus, that we may go on to perfection, to be pleasing, faithful servants for the kingdom of the Lord. We thank you. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. So today's topic is perfection. Perfection. So I was thinking. Say what? Sister Phillips said it leaves us all out. Well, I'm going to disagree with her. Number 40. Yes. So perfection. It's a topic that's near and dear to my heart. I have a touch of OCD about certain things, and here and there, so just a touch. I'm not bad. I know there are people that are certainly bad, but some things I like to get just so. And so, perfection. It's a topic that I think we've all strived. What's the word there? Somebody perfect my English here. I think we've all been in a position where we pursued excellence and perfection. How about that? Let's reword that. At some point or another in our lives, and probably failed to achieve it, if we're being completely honest with ourselves. It's hard to be perfect. It's even though it's something we aim for and we endeavor to do. Truth of the matter is we are just mere humans. We mere humans make mistakes and don't follow through and have the best of intentions that don't always come to fruition. Nevertheless, the scripture admonishes us to strive for perfection, to grow in Jesus Christ. In your Bibles, there are numerous terms that are translated in your Bible from Greek and Hebrew as perfection. I am not going to read those to you this morning, but there are 10 Greek words and 6 Hebrew words that are translated into the King James Version of the Bible as perfection. Perfection, according to the Merriam-Webster's Dictionary, which I did look up this morning, is the quality or state of being perfect. A degree of accuracy or excellence that cannot be bettered. Now, I know that y'all haven't gotten there yet, but it's mighty nice to be the perfect husband. Just ask my wife. Mighty nice. Perfect. Is there anything I can improve upon? I see she, she's laughing. That's not the support I was. It's not the support I was looking for, Cherie. Yeah, she's well on her way to getting me trained. Hey, believe it or not, I actually put the plates in the dishwasher in the correct direction. Thank you. Gentlemen, when you got married, did you know there was a wrong way to load the dishwasher? I didn't know that. Brother Phillips is sitting here going, when I got married, I didn't have a dishwasher. You had her. He said he had her. I'm not going there, Elder. Your wisdom is great, but it's not perfect yet, you said. He does. There you go. So Cherie has perfected that part of my life. I had the plate. I was putting them in backwards. And also, when we got married, I didn't realize you needed to pre-wash the dishes before they went in the dishwasher. Apparently, the dishwasher is for sanitizing. Sister Paula is nodding her head. Yes. The dishwasher is for sanitizing, not for washing. Who knew? So perfection, according to the Webster's, the quality of state or being perfect, the degree of accuracy or excellence that cannot be bettered, you know, that's a hope. If we were to apply, if we were to read that definition in Scripture and try to apply that to our lives, we're going to be miserable, hopeless failures, cannot be improved upon. I think we all know that we can be improved upon, and that is not what the Scripture teaches us about perfection. The meanings of the various Hebrew and Greek words essentially all mean the same thing, but they do vary only in the application of certain situations or certain things. Perfection is fortunately quite different from the Greek and Hebrew is fortunately quite different from the good old Webster's dictionary, okay? Whereas Webster's strives for something that's faultless, something that can't be improved upon, we of course understand that Jesus Christ is working on us to perfect us, for us to better ourselves, to become more like Him, to strive to be more like Him every day. Because it is a cliche that nobody is perfect. No, none of us measure up to that Webster's dictionary definition of perfection. It's hopeless. We could never do that. However, when we understand what the Scripture is asking us to do in our pursuit of perfection, we understand that it is not, in fact, hopeless. The Scriptures are challenging us to be complete, to grow, to be entire, ultimately to be mature in Christ. Scriptural perfection is completion and maturation. Completion, or wholeness, if you will, and maturation, which is to say, we are to grow in maturity. Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verse 1 says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion..." And I'm reading from the New King James Version. "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection." Let us go on to perfection. So we're leaving what is basic. We're leaving what we should know already. And we're progressing towards perfection. Not laying again the foundation. So we're not going back to the foundational doctrines here. The foundation of repentance from dead works, faith toward God, the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Okay, so it's not that we're too good for those things, but those things are elementary, and we've progressed past certain things, and we're going on to perfection. We're going on to maturity in Christ. We're going on to be fully equipped and complete in Jesus Christ. God's will for our lives is perfection, which is simply maturity, being grown up or complete in Christ. It's not the will of God for anyone simply to be forgiven of their sins, to be baptized, and be filled with His Spirit, and then sit on a pew and stay stagnant and not grow. It's the will of God for us to become perfect. And what does that mean? We need to become mature in Christ Jesus. Mature in Jesus Christ. Amen. So as it says there in Hebrews 6 and verse 1, the Word of God teaches us that there is something to go on to. There's a starting place that we all start at in our walk of faith. That is not the end. It is simply a starting place. There is a destination that we are to go towards. Amen. So there are several things that we can find in our lives that is perfectible. We are perfectible. We have not become perfect yet, but it is something that we strive to achieve in our walk with the Lord. Psalms teaches us that we are to make note of the perfect person or the perfect man. Make note of the perfect person. That means it is achievable. Scriptural perfection is something that we can achieve. And I want to say, too, that achieving this completeness in Christ is not something that we can achieve simply by our own willpower. Living a life that's pleasing to God cannot be done in the flesh of our own volition and willpower. We can try to serve. I've seen people try to serve the Lord, and I've been guilty of it myself. And you can become, dare I say, legalistic in trying to achieve, live a life that's pleasing to God, that's holy. All right, we're called to live a life that is holy, which means separated for the use of the Lord. Correct? When something's holy, it's only for God's use. It's for use for according to the purposes of God. We're vessels that are dedicated. We're holy unto the Lord. But when we try to do that with our own works by abstaining from doing certain things, right? We can, and we neglect the more spiritual things in our life, the prayer, the dedication to the Word of God, seeking His face, seeking His will for our lives, and we can become caught up in a rut of just trying to live a life pleasing to God in our own flesh and of our own works. But, of course, we're missing the mark when we do that, because we cannot obtain perfection through our flesh. It's only through Jesus Christ that we can grow to maturation, that we can become a mature tree. I believe our faith all starts as a seed that is planted, that has sprouted up. It's great that in Matthew, the 5th chapter, we find this example. Matthew 5, and I'll start reading at verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Any of you that are praying for rain, you can stop now. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Ooh, poor tax collectors. Zing! But Jesus did have a tax collector as a disciple, so He loves them just the same, does He not? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Verse 48. Therefore, you shall be, perfect. Okay, let's read today, BJ. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. How are we to be perfect? It's in that we love those that despitefully use us. That is a mark of being a mature Christian. When we can learn to love those who curse us, we can bless those that curse us, when we can pray for those that use us wrongly and use us for their own betterment and talk about us and put us through all manner of character assassination behind our back, when we can learn to love those, when we can learn to do good to those that do evil to us, when we can learn to turn the other cheek, when we can learn to go the second mile, when we can learn to love those who are full of hate. Amen. We don't do that because it's our natural inclination. Our flesh doesn't want to love those that don't love us. Our flesh is drawn. It's easy for us to love our children. It's easy for us to love our kin people. It's easy for us to love those who do good to us and say nice things to us and build us up with their words, but it's another thing to learn to do that for those that treat us wrong. And we can't do it in our flesh. It's the love of Christ that's in us, that's directing our words, directing our actions, teaching us to become mature Christians in Jesus Christ. Love is the subject in this context. It's love. It probably sounds very familiar to the fruit of the Spirit. Does it not? Galatians, the 5th chapter. Amen. It sounds very familiar to that. It also sounds familiar from 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, where we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. What is it? Love. Without love, it doesn't mean anything. None of this means anything without love, but the love of Jesus Christ. If we're going to be perfect in love, it is through the Spirit of the Lord that's operating through our lives. So that's a goal that we endeavor to reach. We are perfectible in the love of Christ Jesus. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, is another thing that teaches us that we can be perfectible. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 11, says, "And he gave himself, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry." Now, the King James reads, "for the perfecting." New King James uses the word equipping. Same meaning. "For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry." For what? The edifying of the body of Christ. We're building up the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Wow. So we're being edified, we're being built up, we're being equipped by the ministry that God's put in our lives. What for? So that we can go on to the fullness of Christ. We're fully equipped to do the work for Christ Jesus, that we can become perfect or complete and measure up to the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Why? That we should no longer be children. So we're not to be children. We're not to be those that drink the milk. We're to be grown up. We're to be mature, right? "Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ." So we are to grow up and mature in Christ Jesus. Here's another one, is 2 Timothy, the third chapter. 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verse 16. I'm going to back up to verse 14. "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ." Okay, so Paul is writing to Timothy, his protege, saying, from the time you were a child, you've been raised on these things. Okay, verse 16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that every man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." I mean, even though we've learned things from the time we were a child, we have to understand that there is still a place in our life to grow in the Scripture, and the Scripture is profitable. All Scripture is profitable for us that we may be complete, that we may be complete, that we may be ready to work for the kingdom of God. Amen. There are things in our lives that we strive for perfection, and these things are perfectible, that we may mature and grow in Christ. That's what we're talking about this morning. James, the third chapter, verse 2, James 3 and 2. Verse 1, 2. "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things." Man, any of us willing today to admit that we stumble in many things? I mean, we stumble. We're prone to stumbling. "If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, and he's also able to bridle the whole body." Man, if you don't stumble in word, in other words, if you can't control your tongue, James says the tongue is the most unruly member of the body. So if we are able to control our words, that is one of the most difficult things for us human beings, whether you are male or female, to control is your mouth. Your mouth will tell you, the Scripture teaches us that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever is in your mind, whatever it is that we are feeding ourselves, whatever we're allowing our brains to dwell on, whether it be positive or negative, eventually it will come out of our mouth. usually in moments of frustration, our moments when we are angry. Amen. What is the mark of a spiritually mature Christian? That we can control our words, that we can control our actions, but specifically controlling the words that come out of our mouth. Amen. That is a mark of maturity in Jesus Christ. Verse 3 said, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Amen. Then he goes on to talk about the rudders of the ship. Turns the whole ship. A little bitty rudder turns the whole ship. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. So he talks again and again about the tongue, because it's difficult for us to control our words. But you might see the mark of a mature Christian. A lot of times they will remain quiet, they will remain peaceable in difficult situations, even when someone's railing against them, and they'll be quiet and understand that the Lord will fight their battles. Amen. The Lord will fight our battles. So it's, let us strive for perfection. Now, I'm willing to admit, I haven't quite reached that mark every time. There have been times when I did, but there have been times when I just didn't. And how many of you are willing to admit there are times when you cringe and you think back on something you said could have been years ago? Oh, I cringe. I just go, oh, why did I say that? I should have kept my peace, should have held my peace. But I didn't. But I thank the Lord that he continues to work on us. He continues to work on us. It's just like James said, we all stumble in many things. We all stumble. So we haven't reached that point of perfection yet. Nevertheless, we are striving for that. Our final scripture reading this morning is from Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verse 10. I'm going to back up to verse 8, since that's where Paul starts this great run-on sentence. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, be conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected. So, we have not attained. Paul saying, I have not attained this yet. I am not already complete. I'm not. Can you imagine? This is a guy that wrote a huge part of the New Testament. Gave everything up. He's been shipwrecked. He's been beaten. He's been stoned, left for dead. Just all sorts of persecution that Paul went through. Gave up everything. Gave up his status as a religious leader. Turned his back largely on his culture in a lot of ways. Just was an outcast from those that used to hold him in high esteem and high regard. But he says, he gave up all this. He said, all this stuff I've given up and I count it as nothing. It's nothing to me. Gave up all of that. Even gave up his health. Travel and preach the gospel and found churches and followed the will of God in his life. Nevertheless, he says, I have not attained. He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal, or King James Version says, I press toward the mark, right, of the prize of the upward call or the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. So Paul is saying he's mature, but just a few verses ahead, or previous, he's saying that I'm not already perfected. I'm not perfect. He is saying he's mature. So what does that let us know? That maturation is not an end. There's no end to trying to grow and to become fruitful in Christ Jesus in our walk with the Lord. But Paul says there's a mark, there's a goal. I'm pressing towards that. I'm walking towards that completion. I'm walking towards that perfection. Yes, I'm mature and I'm bearing fruit. I'm doing the work of the Lord. I'm doing all these things, but I'm not there yet. And I got news for you. We never get to a point that we arrive or we're there yet. As long as we're living and breathing and we're on this earth worshiping God and striving to walk with Him each day, we have not arrived yet. But we are pressing on towards a goal of perfection that we may become more like Christ Jesus. Amen. The goal for us is to live a life that is pleasing and holy and acceptable unto God, understanding that we have not achieved Christ's status yet and we never will, but we strive every day, amen, to become a little more like Jesus Christ, a little more perfect, a little more loving, a little more fruitful for the kingdom of God. Amen. We're not going to get there on this earth, but nevertheless, we press toward the mark. It is a press. We have to make it. We have to push our way through this life. We have to push our way through the garbage. We have to have the love and the light of Jesus Christ inside of us, navigating us through this press as we learn to ignore those things that would try to hurt us and harm us, and the people that would cast stones and say, you're a hypocrite and you're no good. And is there anything worse than someone calling you a hypocrite because you try to hold a high standard? You know why? Because people like to point out the faults they see in you. You shall stumble. You will stumble. You will not be perfect according to the definition found in Webster's Dictionary. It is impossible to live up in that regard to the perfection of the Word of God. That's why there was only one man in history that fully followed the law perfectly without sin, and that was Jesus Christ. It was an impossible standard to live up to. Nevertheless, Jesus teaches us that He loves us despite that, and that we are to be more like Him. Jesus said, if any man were to follow me, he has to learn to deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean we're not going to fall down. Doesn't mean we're not going to make mistakes. Hey, doesn't mean that our tongue's not going to be out of control sometimes. Doesn't mean that we're not going to react badly in certain situations sometimes. Doesn't mean that in a moment of weakness that we're not going to make bad choices and sin. Yes, sin. Absolutely, we are. But the godly man, the righteous man, though he falls seven times, gets back up. The only failure that we can truly, the biggest failure, I don't say the only failure, the biggest failure that we can ever make in our walk with Christ is to trip, to stumble, to fall, and then say, you know what, it's not worth it anymore. I'm not worth it. I'm not worthy of God's love. The truth is, none of us are worthy of God's love. Nobody. We're not worthy of His mercy. We're not worthy of His grace. Nevertheless, knowing that we would fall, you don't think Jesus knew that we would stumble? You don't think He knew we would fall? He knew that we had human frailties and we were prone to making bad decisions? Jesus knew all that. Nevertheless, He chose to die for you on a cross. Amen. Why? So that we could one day be with Him. Amen. I want to challenge you this morning to set aside this notion that you're ever going to live perfect for Jesus Christ according to the Webster's Dictionary definition. And let's have a paradigm shift from Webster's to what the Bible teaches us, which is maturity and completion. Jesus knows that we're never, ever able to be mature Christians in Him without the mercy and the long-suffering and the loving kindness of Jesus Christ. We're never going to get there without that. But if you will accept that you're not going to be perfect according to Mr. Webster, but that you can be perfect according to the Word of God, amen, your mindset, and it's going to be a whole lot easier to serve the Lord if we understand that Jesus will help us become mature Christians, that we can be complete, that even though we have flaws, He can still work through us and will work through us. Amen. I'm so thankful for that this morning. Amen. We thank You today, Father, for this class. We thank You for completion and perfection that we can find in You, God. We're thankful today, Lord, that though we stumble and though we fail, though we have faults, we can still strive towards that mark, Lord, of the high calling of God, Lord, in Christ Jesus. Lord, it's in You that we live. It's in You that we breathe. Lord, it's in You that we dwell. Lord, it's in You that we find our purpose. Lord, we pray today that Your will, Lord, be done in each and every believer's life in this congregation today. Lord, that we would find that perfect will, Lord Jesus, that we grow and to be fruitful, mature Christians. In the name of Jesus,